Welcome to Ellie Chat. Your home for exclusive news and commentary on the internet's only podcast about candlepin bowling. Brought to you by the Lords of Candlepin, Frank DeLuca and Rich Lamoni. Email the show at alleychat.frankface.net. Now broadcasting from the heart of the Bay State, the host of Alley Chat, Frank Face.
Welcome back, everyone, to Alley Chat. My name is Frank Face. I am your host, and I'm here with my co-host, Kyle Bruce, and a very special guest, Mr. Jeff Surrett, a recent Pro Series victor of the Millis tournament down in, well, Millis. Welcome, Jeff. Yes, thank you. Welcome, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming down here and being in the Alley Chat studios, fresh off a victory. This was a singles knockout tournament, correct?
Correct.
Third Pro Series of the year, I believe?
Second.
Second, rather. Okay. Tell us a little bit about it.
It was a knockout tournament, five-string qualifier. Top 24 make the cut, and top 8 got a bye in the first round of the playoffs.
And I think you qualified with the 694, was it?
Yes.
And where was that? That was third or fourth?
Good enough for fourth.
Very good. So scores were pretty high that day.
Yeah, scores were very high.
Kyle, did you get a chance to check those out?
I did. I will consult the statistics right now. I'm looking at them.
Very good.
Yes. Are you angry at your teammate that was the number one qualifier?
No. He bowled excellent. Only a little bit of complaining, with 727.
Wow, that's not the answer I was expecting to hear.
Just a little bit. No, he bowled really well. He bowled really well.
Well, yeah, evidently. 727 for Jonathan
and,
Woodrow.
My world teammate, Dave Godwin, bowled next to him. He bowled phenomenal. Two monster games.
Yes, is my math correct in saying that Boudreau was 457 the front three?
Yeah, it's decent.
I believe you're correct. Yeah, yeah.
It's not bad.
No, not at all. From what we hear from Jeff, who was there out of the three of us, the place was moving pretty good that day.
They fall pretty good. You hit the pocket and they splash pretty nicely.
Great house. We went there a couple of years ago for the Skins tournament, I believe. Yep. For the Pro Series. I think Mark Ricci ended up winning that. But and they also, Kyle, now have the New England Candlepins TV show there.
That is correct, yes. It's sad to see a great house like Fico's not around anymore. But right. The TV show has transitioned over to Millis. And have they had their roll-offs yet for their first show? Oh, no, they had their first show.
They had their first taping, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I think 16 guys qualified. They do more of a NCAA bracket style, so different than we do on Classic Candlepins. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they have there. From what I've heard from some of the guys that have filmed there, it's not very spacious, the taping area. The two lanes they use to tape are not spacious at all. Hmm. I guess they use that really big sign that says New England Candlepins on it, and it's like right up in their faces. Hmm. So under the lights of television, it's quite a different, I guess, ambiance than open bowling.
Hmm. Yes. Well, I don't think it's not on YouTube yet, correct?
No, I don't think it is. It's not cut yet. But I do know it has been completed, and there are results. We don't know the results, but I did speak to at least a couple of the guys that taped that day.
Well, I look forward to it. I know in the past they've had some excellent bowlers that have qualified for their program, and they have a couple of excellent bowlers that are in charge of the production for that show. So, yes, I look forward to it.
Yeah, they do a great job.
Your day started, Jeff, bowling against who? I can't even look at this right now. Did you open against McGinty?
Yeah. I had to buy the first round and then, went to McGinty. We had a...
It's a young guy.
18, first year. His first Pro Series event, the last event, the doubles, made it all the way to the finals.
Right.
he actually knocked me and Dave out, him and his partner.
Oh, wow. Sweet revenge here.
Ran into him again. We had a very close match. Threw a strike in the last box, filled it with 9 to win by pin.
And wow.
He got some luck earlier in the string. And unfortunately he left the 1-2 in the 10th and cherried the head pin. Mm. So he was right on it, but just the break didn't fall for him.
Then in the next match, you also had a very wide margin against Jason Gauthier Sr.
Yes.
Winning 120 to 119. So,
yep.
Domination.
Just enough to win.
Yes. Hey, you got to do what you got
to
do.
To win a knockout, you have to have some luck on your side. There's no question about
it. Yeah, one string, really, anything can happen.
To win one string's right, you know, back to back to back.
Even when you're Jeff Surratt, of course.
Hey, you never know what's going to happen.
Well, it's a different mindset, right? Because qualifying, you're just looking – well, let me ask you. What kind of mindset do you have when you're qualifying? Are you just looking to get a bye and just set your mind on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously we do the point system, and you get points for qualifying, and you're going for that top spot no matter what.
Have the points changed from last year to this year at all?
I don't think so.
Very good.
Ask the president.
Who is? Dave Barber?
The Razor.
Ah, the Razor.
Yeah, he's going to kill me for that one.
Well, when we have him on the show, he'll get his revenge.
Oh, yeah.
Toward you.
Yep.
And looks like in the semifinal, you took out Steve Whitten, who also, right before that match, eliminated your teammate, Jonathan Boudreau. So.
Yep. Whitten, he was throwing an excellent ball going into that match, yeah. Oops, sorry.
Don't be sorry. You've done wonderfully. 129, 122, and then Sean Baker in the final, and you win by 13, 121 to 108, and you're the singles knockout champion.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So go ahead.
How many titles do you have now, Jeff, under Pro Series?
I don't know.
Oh, it's last count.
It's been a while since I won one.
Yeah.
2 years, maybe. A year and a half or so. The events we do, they're tough to win.
Of course they are.
You know, not just we have one 10-stringer, but you know, you qualify. Either you pull the first shift, you pull the second shift, you sit out, and you know wait for the knockout or whatever. You know.
I've noticed you usually tend to bowl the first shift. Is there any reason for that? Any preference or... Is it kind of a logistical thing for your role in the Pro Series
committee? Being there on the committee, you know, you're there all day.
Yeah.
It's tough to bowl, or for me, after being there for, you know, 3-4 hours before.
Right.
I like to just get out there and get into the bowling alley, get bowling, and then see what happens.
I can understand that.
Being a committee member, what is that? You know, there's the bowler part, there's the committee member part, and... How does that affect your preparation going into that day when you have, you know, it's more than one job, I guess, that you have to do? Does that make any sense? I mean,
obviously, yeah, absolutely. Obviously, there's a little more, you know, things to do, concentrate on. But Melissa and Kristen do an excellent job of letting us be able to concentrate on bowling.
Fantastic job.
Best in the business.
Yeah, and I mean, they donate their time. Every tournament, you know, at least one or two of them are there, or sometimes other wives are there too. And
they volunteer their one of the days of their weekend, and can't thank them enough.
Right.
Without them, it definitely wouldn't run as smooth as it does. I mean, without them, me and Dave are bowling. Well, Nick and Nick are helping us out this year too.
Nick and Nick are two new committee members this year. Was there any process for, I guess, for lack of a better word, hiring them or selecting them or
they showed interest of wanting to help out, and it's nice to get two fresh faces in there.
Yeah, both young guys.
Pun intended,
absolutely.
Right, of course.
No, just to, you know, see how it goes, how things are operated, new ideas. It's definitely good for the extra help too.
Sure.
Were there any discussions over the summer with their added input that were made to try to make the Pro Series better that you might have in the back burner for going into next year for the 16-17 season?
Yeah, we hold meetings. Well, you know, have a few drinks and talk about bowling.
Like we're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. just discuss different formats, different ideas as far as should we – lower the membership fee? Should we lower the tournament fees? Should we make them higher and whatnot? And we kind of just decide on a happy medium and see, you know, how it works out.
Because obviously the ultimate goal is to raise the membership.
We raised every tournament this year to $100, which includes your high series, high single. That way everyone's in. It's easier for check-in on the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many people would get in or not get in and actually win and not get it.
It happens at least once a tournament. So, at least once.
Yes. So that's out of the way. And even with 51 guys at this last tournament, we're still able to pay out 900 for first, 450 for second, and you know, they're all good payouts.
So it seems like the added cost has maybe affected your numbers a little bit negatively, but your payouts are still remaining the same or maybe even higher.
Yeah, they're actually a little bit better.
Mm.
Which, I mean, for the guy who's going there to win the tournament and wanting to do well, I mean,
of course,
you should be rewarded.
Yeah, I mean, that's what everybody is really there for. We can talk about how fun bowling is and just being within that type of in the company of all those great, highly skilled bowlers. But, you know, at the end of the day, we want to, of course, win money.
Yeah.
At a Pro Series event.
By raise the membership, I meant raise the amount of bowlers that are members of the Pro Series.
Yes, correct. That's definitely the goal every year.
Yeah. I meant that's your biggest goal. Like the committee is to raise the number of members that you have, or what do you look as some of the goals in the committee? Go ahead.
No, we obviously want to raise that up every year, but just really to run good tournaments, you know, and hopefully things in the future, good things will come. We got things in the works, so we'll see.
Anything you can elaborate on?
Just a teaser, that's all.
Of course.
That was well played. this is an excellent segment so far.
Yeah, that either means there's something in the works or there's just nothing in the works and it's a teaser.
You just have to wait and find out.
Right. Well, you know, the bowling season just started, so we only have to wait, you know, 9 months for
the next open forum meeting.
Correct, exactly.
You know, you both have little ones now and time will fly by.
Oh, yeah, that's very true.
That's right, yes.
But, Jeff, one of the changes this year is that I believe every house is an ICBA house.
That's correct.
As you may or may not know, AliChat as an entity is now a member of the ICBA. So we get to go to the meetings, the quarterly meetings. And at the most recent one, it was mentioned that the Pro Series is potentially working on something to maybe partner up with the ICBA. Which would involve you guys either becoming an LLC or sole proprietorship or whatever the technical term is to get prize money from the ICBA. Is anything like that seriously happening, or, you know, was that maybe just hearsay? Or?
Yeah, no, that was definitely discussed, and it's something we're working on.
Well, it's good to consider that, you know, will eventually become a possibility, I suppose. Because I think the ICBA, from what I gathered, Kyle, is interested you know, especially one of the newer members, I'm not going to mention any names, was amazed. This person has just come into the business of Candlepin Bowling as a proprietor. This person was amazed that bowlers are actually providing their own prize money to these tournaments. So in other words, you know, the Mixed Worlds tournament up at Park Place, all the prize money that's paid out nothing comes from the house. Pro Series, nothing comes from the house. All the TV shows that we do, nothing really comes from the house.
Right.
You know,
actually, if you think about Fridays, Frank.
Right.
Aside from the tour, I mean, I could be wrong, and I don't want to misrepresent any proprietor out there. But aside from the $200, the initial fee that's kicked up, is there anything else that goes into it? Everything else comes from the bowlers, right?
That is correct, as far as I know. And to be honest with you, some of the houses aren't even willing to pay that. Some of the teams are providing that themselves.
That's true.
Plus the shirts.
Exactly. Plus the apparel that we're required to wear for the league. It's not really something we choose to do or not do. It is part of the rules. We have to have matching shirts with our names and the house name on them.
Well, it is the Pro League for a reason.
Well, of course. No, I'm all about uniforms and apparel and matching team shirts. But it's amazing how some houses are just unwilling to sponsor that.
Well, it's hard. We've talked about it before. I mean, Jeff, you guys won the regular season last year on Friday night. And were you the only team that made money over the year?
Could have been.
And it's hard because, you know, you get, you know, some of the best in the world bowl on Friday nights, and going to that meeting, proprietors may be looking at it a little differently in terms of wanting to get parties and wanting to get some of the, you know, executive functions to drive revenue in their houses. And, you know, God bless them for wanting to do that. But when you get to the upper echelon of competition, when you're talking about your leagues and your tournaments, it sounds like once you get to that point, the emphasis isn't there to maybe have a pro team being represented at your house, or have, you know, some, you know, a league like Friday night, for example. That's, at least that's just the way I look at it.
Unfortunately, some places just can't accommodate us due to public bowling and whatever else they have going on. I know it happens with the Pro Series. You know, we go to these, you know, houses and ask them if they can accommodate us, and they say no. You know, winter's the busy season every weekend, so some of them turn us down, and that's just the nature of it.
Is it because of the price you ask per string usually?
I don't even know if it comes down to that. They just yeah.
Perhaps, you know, their birthday party business and their open bowling business is just that much better. Maybe they charge hourly or something.
Yeah, birthday party is a big part of that.
Yeah, sure. So, kind of off topic here, but you also recently, Jeff, bowled in the ICBA Tournament of Champions up at Big 20 in Maine. Is it Scarborough? Scarborough, Maine, correct. Tell us a little bit about the tournament.
Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maine had two guys, two girls. Bowl five strings, and the winner is the ICBA champion. Kevin Davis won with 699, which is a phenomenal score.
Incredible bowling. Incredible.
Brian Purdy was second, I believe 640 or so. And then nice tie for third, myself and Mr. Holbrook at 598.
Well.
They were falling tough.
I've been there one time, and I didn't actually bowl. I just watched. I remember it appearing as though it was tough, a tough house. And that was 3 years ago. I think you mentioned before our show tonight. They've upgraded to synthetic lanes.
They have synthetic lanes now, which obviously is different.
Different ball game altogether.
They're actually nice lanes. You put the ball down, it's going to go where you want it. Mm-hmm. Whether or not the pins do what they should is a different story.
Of course.
But the lanes lay a little bit higher, so they hit a different spot on the pins, which obviously those spots aren't worn in enough.
Of course.
So they pretty much react like new pins.
Hmm. That's interesting, because you look at pins that have been used for quite a while, and you do see that indentation.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know if it's really – if you're able to kind of identify that from house to house, but that's not something a lot of people really think of. Is it, you know, I'm sure even if it's an eighth of an inch,
yeah,
it's a total difference.
It is. Yeah, nobody really thinks about that, but I probably wouldn't have either, but it was pointed out to me.
Right, okay. Interesting.
The place looks phenomenal. Mike Walker.
Yeah, I think he and his dad picked that place up a couple of years ago, and they've been doing really good things to it.
Really nice.
So, nice guy too, Mike Walker.
Very good. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Big 20. Kyle, they talked about this tournament at the ICBA meeting a little bit.
They did.
But not all that much.
Well, I mean, hopefully next year it'll be viewed a little differently and perhaps with a little more
enthusiasm.
Well, maybe not just enthusiasm, but a renewed focus to the promotion of that tournament. When you consider how long the states take, really, in any state, you know, over the course of the spring, and to have this tournament be representing New England as the very best after those, you know, after the tournaments are over. I think it's a great opportunity to really showcase the best talent in the game. And
just to backtrack on what you're saying, you said New England. Theoretically, we should be thinking internationally.
Definitely.
Several years ago, Jeff, I think you said your first appearance at that tournament was up in Canada.
Yeah, it was in Canada. Yep.
Now they don't even have Canadian bowlers participating in it.
Right. And the incentive needs to be there, I think. Now, where does that revenue come from? I don't know. But it's got to be out there somewhere because, again, how many opportunities do you have to represent the very best in this kind of format? This would be it. And maybe next year things will be different. I hope so.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I said about it was perhaps there's a possibility that they'll be moving it around to different states or maybe even provinces eventually. I think that right. could be good.
I think that'd be a good
sure.
idea.
I mean, if you think geographically, a more central location might be Bangor. I don't know.
Right. Especially if you're thinking Canadian.
Right. I mean, internationally, you want to, you know, lessen the burden in terms of, you know, driving time and such.
Right.
So,
right.
Who knows? It'd be a great thing to watch. It'd be a great thing to film.
I agree. Although I think it may be a little tough to film just a five stringer.
Right.
In terms of maybe creating a dialogue about it, something like that.
Sure.
There's no real head-to-head competition.
No.
But, maybe they could even change the format. The five string would just be a qualifier. And then you move on to face someone head-to-head, maybe the top two women or top two men.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that sounds intriguing. I mean, anything less than five strings is not going to fly.
Right,
I mean,
of course.
You can't blame the bowlers. Yeah. You know?
I mean, the tournament used to be 10 strings. I don't know how far along down the road they changed it, but it used to be a 10-stringer.
Jeff, how many times have you bowled in it?
I think 4 times. Back in 2003. And then maybe 3 times. I don't know. 3 times? 4 times?
You've lost count.
I've won twice.
Well, there you go. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Is that so kind?
That's bad, right?
That's right.
Four times. 4 times.
4 times. Okay.
4 times, yeah. The last 2 years.
Okay.
Do you feel – what is the ultimate barometer in terms of a format do you feel that really separates the men from the boys, to coin a phrase? Do you think like Easter with the 20-stringer or do you think 10-stringer?
That's just a whole different animal in itself. I mean, growing up with the pro tour, the old WCBC, 10-stringers are great. I mean, the top guy that day is definitely going to win.
Right.
You know, knockouts are tough. Top seed through the qualifying very rarely wins. Very rarely makes it out of the first knockout round, to be honest with you.
Why do you think that is?
Well, you bowl so good through 5, you do for a bad game, in my opinion.
Was there ever talk initially when you started the Pro Series that, because it always, I know there were a couple years towards the end that the WCBC went from 10 down to 5 and then they brought it back up to 10 strings. But was there ever a thought of just doing all 10 stringers?
With the Pro Series? I kind of blacked out for a second. I don't even remember what you said.
It's all right. That happens to me all the time, and I'm the one talking.
we wanted to get away from that, do different formats to intrigue different bowlers. Some that can't last 10 strings.
Like me?
You could.
No. I don't even know if I could do 5 strings at this point.
Just to get different formats in to draw a different interest. It's still working, but
speaking of formats and such, I was always interested that the random draw doubles went away. I guess on paper, maybe your papers are different than what I'm perceiving as a paper. That seemed to be the highest level of interest.
Yeah, we talked about that. Random draws are difficult as far as payouts, I think. I think that was one thing we went over. But I mean, same with the doubles. It's tough to put another guy's, you know, bowling in your hands for the outcome of the day, in my opinion. Maybe that was one of the things. Maybe we took too many people to qualify, which, I don't know, made it a little more difficult, but who knows, could make a return. It'll be talked about.
Yeah, so that's one thing I've noticed over the course of a couple of years is that the Pro Series hasn't stuck to, you know, static formats over the past couple of years. There have been some change-ups. Is there intent behind that? Are there new ideas all the time? Or
we will take any suggestions, comments from anybody. You know, Dave, myself, Norcross, Freshy, we'll take any ideas. We do want to keep bowlers happy, keep them coming back. And it just has to be brought up.
Sure.
The four of us discuss these things before the season, think what's best for it, what'll be fun, on top of being a challenge for the day.
That December, I think it's the December event that didn't have a house. Did you find one for that yet?
I think it's January. Is it December?
It's either December or January.
We're going to Sunnyside, I believe.
Oh. Well, no, I think you're already at Sunnyside.
Sunnyside?
I think the kids one was undetermined.
Oh, the kids one. Yeah, we haven't heard a kids tournament yet so far from anybody. So we were just kind of waiting on the kids on that, and we don't have anything yet.
Were you looking at a New Hampshire house?
For a regular event?
Well, for that event, because I didn't see a New Hampshire house on the schedule this year. I just thought that was odd.
Yeah, it might have been a little oversight. I know we went to Lakeside and Lita the past couple years.
Right.
Right.
So we did want to mix that up. We're giving Pilgrim an event this year, who has hosted the playoffs. So nice to give them a regular event.
I think that's a singles knockout or a singles elimination.
Actually, I think Pilgrim is November 1st. The three-man teams.
Oh, okay. That was brought up a couple years ago and skipped last year, and I think brought back this year. Because it was unlucky the first time.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah,
upstairs.
There was good interest in that
tournament. Yeah, it was. I thought it was a pretty cool tournament. I threw like a 130-something in the first game and then crapped out the rest of the day. But
with a triple.
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
Yes.
That seems to be the pattern, at least this year. Yes. I've had at least a double every week so far on Friday, except for last week.
Oh, decent.
Yeah, but you know, I'm still around that 3:30 mark, so pretty solid.
It's early.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
Right. Speaking of Fridays, Kyle, Jeff, you guys are off to a great start, and you don't have one of your full-timers bowling.
Yeah, Sean McKinley has been out for a little while. We've had Irby fill in. Eric Pelletier fell in. They're definitely helping us out.
Yeah.
Irby's been bowling really well for us. Same with Eric. Just kind of battling. We've had a few tough matches and pulled out a few.
As you always do. I mean, you guys have been unstoppable for a couple of years now.
Yeah, I mean, best leadoff guy in the league. In the lefty kid, whoever his name is. I don't talk to him very much.
Why would you?
I try not to. It's depressing.
You would just get mad if you did talk to him.
Yeah, of course.
You can speak to the president about having him banned.
I've tried that. It didn't work.
All right. Well, sorry.
But we have a lot of fun on Friday nights. Team gels very well, even with Slinky being absent. But yeah, it's really all it's about, team chemistry.
Right. I think that goes a long way. Pretty far, yeah. Because if you don't have the chemistry, you're not going to be throwing your best ball. So
yeah,
you're not going to pick up the numbers. But Kyle, any patterns or anything you want to talk about for Fridays?
Well, do you feel like the 16 teams has – well, I know it's probably too early to tell, but do you envision that having any difference in your mindset going forward this year at all? Because I can't remember it being – having the league having this many teams at all. And I know years ago things were a lot different.
Yeah, it's definitely different to have 16 teams in the league to go to, I don't know, your opponent's house once and that be it for the year.
That's it. Yeah. We're used to Well, sometimes once, but mostly twice.
I mean, we started Central Park this year, first week, and that was it for the year.
Yeah, it's tough to imagine.
Which is a lot different than past.
Although we do have a couple of new houses this year, which is exciting. We're going to more than one is going to Holbrook this weekend. Pretty pumped about that. I've never stepped foot in the place.
I was there once. We did have a Pro Series event there, maybe the first year, first or second year, but. Yeah, nice to get a new house in.
And another one, I think, is Cape Ann is this year. They've been in the league before.
Yep.
But just this year, Dan Chouinard picked up a team there. So,
yeah.
Another great house. And actually, that's where the Pro Series playoffs are this year.
That's correct. Yeah, so, that's a fantastic house.
I really enjoy it. They still have all wood lanes. Yep. They're clean. They run a good ship there.
Yeah, yeah. Friday nights they bowl on the left side with four lanes.
Yeah, I've heard that there's a separate room for that, and I've never been in there.
It's a little different. They have enormous ball racks that is just kind of big and out there. But the whole other section of the house where we have
when you've got big balls, you need enormous ball racks.
the big section of the house where the playoffs is at is it's great.
Have you been there this year yet?
No.
Okay,
it's interesting. I mean, it's such a long year. Is it – how many weeks is it? It's 30-something, right?
36, I believe. We have 16 teams come out to 32 weeks – 31 weeks, rather, plus four nights.
How many positions? Oh, four?
Is there four this year?
I think it's four. So that would bring us to 35.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. A decent – I think that's a decent time span for a league. When we had 14, we were doing 39 weeks. That was grueling.
Yes. I mean – personally, I didn't mind it. I don't bowl in the summer, so.
Well, actually, that's interesting because you don't bowl anything else besides Friday Pro League, do you?
That's it.
I mean, in terms of league play.
Yep. Yeah, that's all.
Is there any particular reason for that?
It keeps me wanting to come back. Keeps me anxious for the week. I bowled two nights a week one time, and towards the end, I just kind of got sick of it.
Mm.
And I didn't really like that feeling because obviously I really enjoy doing it.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, for a while, obviously, it was my job, which prevented that.
Right.
I was lucky to be able to even bowl Friday nights. But a new job, I could get a couple hours off before bowling. Now it's pretty sweet.
And you're all set up. That being said, do you ever practice during the week?
I do not.
Wow. Just natural ability.
I'll get out once or twice before the league starts, end of summer, to just feel it out a little bit.
But are you still working over at Candlewood one day a week or so?
I am not.
No.
Nope.
Can you clear some air on them? We've heard rumors that they're closed.
They are still open.
Good.
Limited hours. That's really all I know at this point.
Well, it's good to know. I mean, that's a great house. I really would love to see some money put into that place and revamp it. They got a great location. They've got a great spot, I think.
They do.
You know. But just down the road, or maybe a little ways down the road, we can talk about Wamisit Lanes.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be quite the place.
You recently checked it out, and we're going to talk about that once Kyle Bruce brings us the Week 5 Friday Pro League recap. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be back with Jeff Surrett.
Hi, everyone. This is your weekly Alley Chat recap of the action and excitement that is the Friday Night Pro League, sponsored by Classic Candlepins. Season 2.0 is underway with one ladder champion already crowned. Roll-offs are underway at Riverwalk Lanes in Amesbury. Call 978-792-5475 or go to the Facebook page for Classic Candlepins for your roll-off dates and times. Classic Candlepins, the heartbeat of America. Week 5 is come and gone, and all alone in first place sits Academy 3, and last Friday, they hosted Malden 2 and used Joe Smith's 418 to take 8 points. Academy 3 threw a 654 in the first string out of the gate and won this match by 205 pins. Captain Dennis Nuzzo led his Malden 2 team with a 357. He will lead his troops back home next Friday to host Central Park, and Academy 2 will rekindle its in-house rivalry with Academy 3. Match of the night took place in Peabody as Riverwalk makes an early statement by taking 6 off Metro 2. Anchor TJ DePietro threw 416 for Metro 2 as his team held a 64-pin advantage after one string, but Riverwalk rallied, getting a 396 from Jeff Walsh and a 386 from Peter Crawford Jr. to win the next two strings and also take total by 18 pins. Next Friday, Metro 2 will travel up 495 to face Academy 1, and another litmus test awaits Riverwalk as they will welcome Lucky Strike to Amesbury.
Consistency told the story of Lucky Strikes Night as they were the Road Warriors opposing Academy 1 and had strings of 607, 601, and 607 to take 7 points as both teams tied the first string. Jeff Surrett had the top pinfall for the match with a 389, and Jay Paul led his Academy 1 team out of the leadoff spot with a 384. Remember, because of that first string tie, Lucky Strike is 1 point out of the top spot in the standings. Ron's Ice Cream got 417 from Chris Harris and a 154 third string from Wayne Springfield to take 6 points at Malden 1. Captain Rich Lamoni was the high man for his team with a 392, and his Malden 1 squad will look to rebound next Friday at Union Street. Union Street and Malden 1 are both at 500 now, and by virtue of their victory, Ron's Ice Cream jumped into fourth place and will be the home team next Friday against Cape Ann. Woburn 1 was in Gloucester last Friday and got 402 from Dan Goffier and a 152 from Justin Scally to win the third string by a pin and take 6 off Cape Ann. Anchor Dan Chouinard threw a 397, including a 160 middle string in that hard-fought match. And another hotly contested battle was waged up in Haverhill as Academy 2 returned to form after their slow start this year and used Ed Tringali's 413 to take 8 points from Metro 1. Tringali had a 158 middle string, which aided Academy 2 in throwing 645 in that middle string. Matt Penko looked to answer by throwing a 164 third string for Metro 1, but he was one-upped by the home team as Academy 1 closed their night by throwing 646. Penko threw 405 to lead his team, and they'll be home next Friday to oppose Park Place. Academy 2's 1890 was the team-high triple for the week. Central Park was in the Granite State last Friday to take on Park Place and fell victim to Scott LaPierre's 406 and lost 6. LaPierre had a 163 first string, and Park Place ended the match by throwing a 664 to close the book on their victory. Dan Lasco was the high man for Central Park with 361. And finally, Woburn 2 lowered the boom on the visitors from Union Street and used Jimmy Keith's 405 and a big 427 from Bobby Daugherty Sr., including a 167 middle string to get 6 points. Daugherty's 427 was the high triple for the week. Mike Kucha threw 384 Union Street. That was your look at Week 5 in the Friday Night Pro League. For Rally Chat, I'm Kyle Booth.
All right, folks, welcome back to Alley Chat. Kyle, thank you very much for that Week 5 Friday Pro League recap. I think there's been I think there's been a very good response within our listener community.
Very good.
Jeff, how do you feel about those recaps?
Awesome.
Isn't he a natural?
Very much.
You haven't listened to a single one.
Have you heard any of them?
I hear Lucky and then I shut it off.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
How's all that? Right. No, yeah. Very good. I'm just kidding.
No, Kyle does an excellent job. We thank you for that, Kyle. The way we left it before is we were going to talk about this new bowling center, entertainment center. I don't want to call it Candlepin Center strictly, but it's a bowling house, whatever. That is going to be featuring both 10-pin and Candlepin bowling in Tewksbury, Massachusetts. This is Wamisit Lanes. Jeff has disclosed to us that he knows the developer, the guy who bought the property, and his son. And is developing the house. He's actually visited. And we have some top secret photographs that you'll be able to see on our website of the facility. Jeff, tell us a little bit about it. It's not open yet.
It's not open yet. Projected to be November 9th, which is still up in the air though. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. 10 pin, I believe 24 lanes, 12 candle pin. They have a restaurant. They have a lounge, massive arcade, 5 golf simulators, state of the art, huge. There is a private section of 8 10 pin lanes for private functions and stuff. It's just phenomenal.
I think you even showed me a photograph of your son, Tommy, running through a little laser maze type thing.
Yeah, like Mission Impossible.
Yeah, they had this big room with lasers.
Put the lasers on, you have to get to the other end and avoid them. Yeah, it's hysterical.
So I'd never be able to walk in there. But that sounds pretty cool for kids at least.
Unbelievable.
Did you bowl there?
I threw one ball in my sneakers.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's all you need when you're Jeff Surrett.
Good enough for a gutter ball.
But so tell us about the lane structure. It's synthetic all the way down?
All synthetic approaches and lanes.
Starting with the approaches. So that's pretty unique to this house. I mean, we've seen a couple. We've seen
St. Joe's.
St. Joe's in Haverhill, or All Saints, whatever it is. Yeah. And the upstairs at Funtime Lanes, which is now sadly closed. That's in Holyoke, Mass. Or was in Holyoke, Mass. I had been to Funtime with my team when I was injured. So I didn't actually get the ball, but I saw these synthetic approaches, and it didn't seem to have much effect on the way guys slide.
Most people can deal with it. I've never really had an issue. It all depends on the approach, how fast you go, really. I mean, if you're ready for it,
yeah,
you just got to kind of prepare yourself.
And with a surface like that, I'd wonder if maybe humidity, you know, conditions
some
like that.
Some people stick. Some people find it really slippery. But yeah, weather does play a factor.
So this is going to be in an ICBA house. And were you able to see the machinery?
I did see the machinery, yeah.
They're, I believe, E-machines. Z machines, rather, right? Which, Kyle, I recently discovered through Scott Moore, those are recycled Bowlmore machines.
I did not know that.
Yeah, something pretty amazing. You would figure that there would be new machinery in the industry, but it doesn't seem that way. But good thing that they're recycling, I guess. Also from the photographs, Jeff, it looked like the seating area was not like your rigid, Granada Lanes seating
yeah.
area as we have in the Alley Chat Studios, but rather couches with little tables to put your drinks on and food and stuff and tablets something like that.
I believe those are going to control the, some of the scoring system. It is fully automatic.
Interesting, okay.
But I believe that's going to, you know, put your name in, and I think it's going to order drinks and stuff like that for you, food.
So they will have, like, table service?
Yes.
Type thing, which, Kyle, since Scott Perella took over Park Place, they are now doing that. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
I was, but I think that's a good idea.
It's a great idea. It's a great way to get your patrons in and make it easy for you.
Retain them, too.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So I think we're all excited about this. 12 candlepin lanes, you said.
Yep.
I can't wait to go check it out. It just looks phenomenal. And, you know, we were talking about this before the show. I think this is, in at least in my day, from what I can remember, this is the first structure that has been built from the ground up that will be featuring candlepin bowling. I mean, we've seen places close and reopen. We've seen some conversions and stuff like that of 10-pin centers or whatever. But this place, albeit they do have, of course, the other sinful type of bowling. But maybe that's what allowed them to finance this project. They will be, like I said, the first to have candlepin from the ground up. So pretty exciting. And they are ICBA. They are sanctioned. It's a legit house, what we're told. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to go check it out.
Yeah, you're going to be amazed. I mean, they have the big open ceiling concept. It's got to be, I don't know, 25, 30 feet high.
Yeah, I mean, the masking unit you were showing me, it looks like a movie theater.
The masking unit is just out of this world.
Right.
I love it.
So, and that's on, what road is that on Tewksbury?
Main Street, 38, Route 38.
So we're looking toward a November 9th opening?
Yeah, that's what I was told.
Hopefully that's the case. I got a flyer in the mail at my house, actually. Late October is what it said.
Yeah.
But they probably have some setbacks.
It's quite the project that they got into pretty quickly.
Yeah, pretty ambitious. And, you know, I think given that area of the state, that's exactly what it needs over there.
Yeah, easily reach from 495 and 93. I mean, it's perfect.
And down the road, there's the great Tewksbury Country Club. Great course.
Yeah.
You ever played there?
When it first opened.
Okay.
When I still lived in town.
I know it's a pretty reasonably priced course for a nice course.
Yeah.
So Tewksbury is kind of up and coming.
They put that right over the old Tumac Airport.
Yes, they have the Tumac Tavern, I believe. I went there for a bachelor party. It was a lot of fun. But anyway, this is not a golf show. This is a open bowling show. Kyle, what do you think?
I can't wait to check it out, too. It's a nice segue. If it's November 9th for the grand opening,
yes,
we won't be able to see it.
That is true.
Because we'll be
traveling.
Yes.
Internationally.
Correct.
For?
What's the official name of the tournament?
What is the official name of the tournament?
I think it's the World Invitational Team Tournament.
Yeah, I think from what I've seen, at least what the tickets say, 2015 Men's World Invitational Tournament.
That sounds about right.
So that's upcoming, as Kyle was saying, on November 9th is the that's the Monday of that week. So that would be the singles event.
Singles knockout, yep.
And then Tuesday onward through Saturday is the teams tournament. Theoretically, 24 teams, 12 in each division, randomly drawn, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
The night of the captain's meeting, which is that Monday
night.
Which
is Monday night, yep.
This is the world's guys. This is the time of year for everything Candlepin to kind of shine.
.com.
Yes. But no, this, you know, biggest tournament there is. Different house this year also. It's for the past 2 years, has it's been kind of a traveling tournament, whereas before it was always in Bangor or always in Halifax, if I'm not mistaken.
Last year was
Moncton? Academy.
Two years ago in Canada, it was Moncton.
Moncton Fairlanes, yeah.
Last year, Academy Lanes.
So we know that there's a whole lot of drama and everything about how the tournament was turned over. Jeff, being a Pro Series committee member, is the Pro Series responsible for the Worlds, or is it a totally separate?
No, totally separate.
Okay. And who handles that? Is it mostly Dave, Barber?
There's quite a few people. Dave is one of them. Joe Smith.
He does the banking and so forth.
Yep. I'm not really sure. Maybe Mark Strangio.
Okay.
There's a good group of guys that took it over for the U.S. side.
Very good. And, you know, I'm really excited about the fact that they're moving it from house to house this year. This year, of course, being Fredericton, Kingswood Lanes up in New Brunswick. Kyle, very excited that you're traveling with us.
Well, I'm excited to be going up there. I haven't – I've always wanted to see the Worlds up in Canada. And having been in Academy last year, it was a very unique experience. I've been to a lot of TV tapings over the years and Friday nights over the years and a whole other animal. The intensity and the energy is at an all-time high in the game. I'm really looking forward to it.
Should be a good week, I think. I know that they run another tournament up there once a year. It's called the Dave Stewart Memorial Tournament, which I think is kind of like our Mixed Worlds tournament, but it could be all men's. They do a one-day tournament, I think maybe 12 teams, something like that. They bowl one-string matches. So a lot of our guys down here in the U.S. are actually familiar with the house. Jeff, have you ever been there?
I have not. No, the pictures I've seen of the place and what everyone's talked about, it looks great.
Yeah, it almost kind of seems to have, I don't know, kind of like a stadium atmosphere.
Yeah.
And if you look them up online, bowling is not all they do. They have like two, three golf courses up there, huge arcade, all types of different things. So it's kind of like a huge complex.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
So I'm looking forward to it. I'm taking my son up, and this is going to be his first world experience. He's not going to remember a damn thing, but at least we'll have a story to tell him.
There is nothing
like
it.
That's true.
Nothing like it.
Yeah, and you've won the Worlds how many times? Once?
One time.
Okay, what team were you on?
Maria Subs, 2008, with John Zappi, Craig Holbrook, Bob Whitcomb, Billy Travers, Mike Kucha, Rich Brignano, and Jimmy Powers.
And so that was fairly recently, and, not too far ago.
Johnny Lang, too.
Oh, okay. Was that in U.S. or Canada?
That was in Bangor.
Okay.
It's, there's absolutely nothing like the whole tournament itself, and to win it is pretty special.
And on the topic of houses, do you know of any – I know you're close with Dave Barber, working with him on the Pro Series committee and being on his Friday team. Do you know of any prospective houses that would be hosting the Worlds next year for the U.S.?
I believe they send out applications to all the houses if they want to put in a bid, write one out, see what's available. I believe Lakeside, Park Place, and Academy are in the running.
So there's a chance it could return to Academy.
Yeah.
Could be like the Friday Pro League, Kyle. Academy 3 Worlds.
Yes. Exactly.
Guys, what do you think the criteria is for being able to host the Worlds?
Well, there's different things to take into account. Being 24 teams, you need at least 24 lanes.
Right.
It's very difficult with no warm-up lanes. It's a different kind of format because you can substitute people in each string up until the fourth box. So if you're throwing in a cold guy as opposed to somebody who's warmed up, it, you know, could change the outcome.
Right.
Obviously, alcohol is a big part of that for most people. And
you mean people drink at these things?
A little bit. A little bit.
Well, you've heard of it anyway.
Yeah, no, I don't do that. No.
That's why Kyle and I are going, is to just drink.
Correct. We are lushes.
Right, right.
Yes.
Luscious? Luscious?
Yes.
I think that's what you heard.
Yeah, I think so.
Like luscious Johnny Valiant.
Right. But I always wondered if scoring is one of the criteria involved in that. You don't want fully automatic.
No,
you definitely don't.
It makes it kind of almost impossible. With the two divisions, usually each division, one's ahead of the other per day. Obviously, you have to wait till your whole division is done to start the next round of the day.
Right.
Fully automatic would be difficult.
It's unfortunate because it eliminates quite a few really good houses down here.
I agree.
You know, Lita couldn't do it. I'd even love to see it at Beverly. Sunnyside couldn't do it. They have fully automatic scoring. Malden. The list goes on. Woburn. I don't know if people would like to go to Woburn, but I love Woburn.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting that because of the diversity in the game in terms of machinery and scoring and so forth, it kind of narrows down the candidates, you know, considerably. So I wonder, you know, how many – I don't know much about Canadian houses, but I wonder what the main players will be in terms of future houses. It seems like Kingswood, Moncton Fairlanes would probably be the first two that come to mind. Again, I haven't been up to Canada, so
I don't know too many others.
Right.
No, I'm definitely excited for you guys to go into Canada. It's just fun to get out with the guys. I know you bring your family, you said, but I'm sure she'll let you out a little bit.
Well, speaking of that, there is, of course, a bit of a reputation for the happenings of the night.
It gets interesting. It's guys that act like boys all week long, really, if you want to.
Well, you got to consider it. We're all, you know, we collectively are all renting out this hotel, bowling for the week, drinking for the week. Some guys, of course, not everyone. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily responsible for the hotel. So there's going to be some maybe rowdiness. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the bowling alley from, say, 8:30 in the morning till
6:30,
like depending on how the day goes. You know, you go back, you eat, and you – personally, I like to stay in the room, have a couple drinks. We – our room with Barber. So we like to bring our Xbox, play some NBA Jam or NHL. And
from downtown.
Yeah. Hey, slam a lamb a ding dong.
He's heating up. Kyle's shaking his head.
D. Brown and Reggie Lewis.
Yeah. Yes. well, that sounds pretty good. We're, you know, Ali, for those who are curious, Ali Chat will be covering the tournament, recording. We're bringing not all, but a lot of our equipment up there. So, you know, that there's going to be a lot of coverage. Kyle, I wonder if we can get you to do some recap coverage throughout the day.
Oh, that would be amazing. I won't sound as polished, though.
That's quite all right. You always sound good.
Can I hold the microphone for you?
Yes.
What are you, Trina Fernandez?
I don't smell as good.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, only you would know. You'd stood next to her so many times.
Yes.
That's actually, you know, something good we could talk about. Jeff, talk about your TV appearances over the years. I mean, how many times did you win that show?
The championship show?
Right.
Four times.
And, you know, how many years did it run?
I'm not too sure.
Probably.
I think eight.
I was on the last.
2009 maybe?
The last five championship shows. Lost the one in the middle, so. It was a pretty good run overall.
I'd say so. That's almost 50% of the tournament show or, you know, championship shows. What's it like bowling on TV? I mean, any different than?
I personally think it's just fun as hell. Get out there. I mean, all eyes are on you.
Right.
Yeah, a little pressure's nice to, you know, it's I think it's great.
Well, I mean, you're always going to put on a show for these people too.
Cause the hardest part is the interview, like kind of like this.
Like this. Yeah. This talking. Is why this is our best recording yet.
I like to stutter all over myself. So.
What other shows have you bowled on?
I was on the Channel 50 Stars and Strikes, mm-hmm. which that I love that show. That was just an awesome show.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know, three strings, head to head, winner moves on. Kind of like Classic Candlepins.
Speaking of, I haven't seen any Jeff Surrett appearances yet.
The dates have not worked out in my favor, but you will see me.
Good. That's good news. What do you think, Kyle?
I'm looking forward to that.
The ratings are going to just go sky high.
I know it. I mean, the interwebs will probably
crash.
Melt.
Yes. You
know? Server failures all over the country, not to mention Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, and parts of Albania.
Right.
Large Western Europe candlepin bowling fan base, you'll find. Not a lot of people know that. So
that's interesting.
Right. That's what we'll have to look forward to when you make your appearance.
Is that what you say again?
Sorry. No, go ahead.
Is that what you've gathered from the YouTube analytics?
Correct. I have. I've done a lot of intensive research, and that's what the diagnostics show me.
Well, the proof is in the pudding.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, folks, you heard it from Jeff Surrett here on Alley Chat, the web's only candlepin bowling podcast. Jeff, thanks for joining us tonight. As a treat to our listeners who made it this far through this wonderful interview, there are going to be some preemptive photographs of Wamsutt lanes courtesy of Jeff Surrett, who was able to check out the lanes last week sometime. And we're hoping to bring you more material from this. The house is looking to open early to mid-November. And, you know, we look forward to that because this is, again, as we mentioned before, a new candlepin structure going up. So the community itself is very, very excited about this. Kyle, any closing thoughts on our fantastic episode?
Yes.
Episode 20, I should note.
Wow.
A milestone. Big 20. Yes. Yes.
That's big stuff. Yeah.
Right.
It is. Yes. And for all our loyal listeners, I would like to direct you to alleychat.net for your chance to purchase the official Alley Chat 2015 Men's Worlds Imitational T-shirt, which will be selling for $20, which will have the Alley Chat logo on the front. It'll have the world's information on the back of it. We're looking to get a pre-order of 50 of these shirts that will be selling for $20. That also includes shipping. And I know that I'll be styling and profiling up in Fredericton with one of these shirts, and hopefully Frank and I will be seeing you there too, wearing one. And that's really all I have to say.
Yeah, Frank. We're looking forward to that. You know, like Kyle said, these will not be printed until we get enough orders. So you know, it is important that if you want a T-shirt, you got to make it happen. You got to buy one and tell your friends about it. You pay by PayPal. That's the only way you can pay on the website. There'll be a link in the show notes just under the description of this episode. Again, episode number 20. Jeff, would you sport an Alley Chat Worlds?
That's 2 days of the Worlds covered. I'll have my Frank Faye shirt, and then I will have the Alley Chat shirt. So
there we go.
I'm good to go.
Yeah, so all your custom apparel courtesy of Frank Faye's headquarters here.
I just need a Kyle shirt.
Well, we'll get to work on that.
Yeah, right? That'll definitely work very soon. So we'll get that into production. We'll need a limited run of 5 to make that happen.
I don't think my own family would wear a shirt with my likeness
on. But anyway, folks, thanks very much for listening to Alley Chat. This has been episode number 20. We are with Jeff Surrett. Jeff, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
No, thank you for having me. Kyle, I look forward to your daily Friday night recaps. Your Friday night recaps, and we'll see you guys in Canada.
We look forward to it.
Very much so. Thanks for listening.